Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Vlogcast that comes from a skeptical point of view to answer some of the questions of why. The Vlogcast started as a combination of spite and the Streisand effect when some people on Facebook didn't like the way that I was using Facebook, which was to correct people who were posting stuff on Facebook that was wrong, because the way that they use Facebook is the right way, which is to post whatever it is that they want to, even if it's wrong, which is what I was doing. Part of this is also to go through the old adage of that sometimes the journey is more important than the destination. I am known as Shujin Tribble all over the place. You can find me by Googling me pretty much everywhere. If you have a problem finding me, you're doing it wrong. I was born into a Roman Catholic family in Brooklyn, New York, raised on Long Island, and I currently reside outside of very green Buffalo, New York, and am an unabashed atheist. Starting from just north and across the border, Heretic Woman.
Hello. I am from Ontario, Canada. I grew up in the United Church of Canada, which is pretty darn liberal as far as churches go. But then I got stupid and I joined a Calvinist sect, and that was real fun. Not so much. And I have been an atheist for 25 years and very happy at it. And it is also very green up here in Canada, and I'm loving it.
Going south of me is Unrenown Tech.
Hi, guys. Down here in Maryland, in the U.S., and I grew up in a mixed religious background household, which made for lots of holiday celebrations, positive side. I tried practicing both and studied others and, you know, after time realized that it's all full of crap, you know. So I am an atheist. And depending on my mood, I'm sometimes an anti-theist. Just depends on what makes the news that day.
Completely understandable. And over the river and a lot of miles and kilometers across over into Europe, thanks for joining us, Joe.
Hi. I'm originally from London, Ontario, not far from Deborah. And I came over here in 1989, so and I've been living here ever since. And I guess I've always been an atheist, even while I was preparing for seminary. and it was actually my coming over here that kind of woke me up. So, yeah, just loving it here.
And what part of Europe is that, Joseph?
Oh, I'm sorry. Paris, France.
We all have to give a little bit of difference for him because currently it is 12:10 a.m. on the eastern seaboard of the U.S. and Canada. What time is it for you over there?
6:10 now.
Which means he made a special effort of getting some rest and getting up early just for us. So thank you. As I mentioned during the IMs with you, thank you. I'm very, very flattered.
Well, thank you.
Well, he's in France. He should have easy access to coffee there.
Oh, and he is right now.
His Starbucks.
Yes, logo notwithstanding.
And what's really ironic is he has a chock full of nuts in there. That's an actual brand.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yes, it is. And I still remember the Sung logo and everything.
And they still sell it, and it's still good.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, New York City used to have a big billboard, a 3D moving billboard that had a giant coffee cup on it with steam coming out of it to demonstrate how great it was way back when.
Wow.
I think that was still there. I was in New York in 87, and I think that was still there.
It's entirely possible at that point. I don't remember. It's been so long. All I remember is that when I was a kid, I remember seeing it in Manhattan when grandparents and my aunt and I would go in every once in a while, but that's a whole other piece for later. Anyway, as usual, it is about that time. It is episode number 46. I basically have no real theme for tonight. We'll get to that. But as always, well, maybe not necessarily always, but as it's become customary, with appreciation and blame going to Heath Enright, 5 minutes on the clock. Now, I don't normally talk about my personal life, my actual personal life, not because I'm afraid that somebody's going to do something stupid, but because I don't want to say something that's going to come around to bite me later. Partly because I also don't want to give out any much more about myself than stuff that might be already well out of date. For instance, if you try to find me on social media, you will have information about where have I worked from maybe like the first two or three places that I worked for, and that's about it. If you go looking, you'll actually find out that what you find out about me as far as to professional history is concerned is like two or three jobs behind. And that's actually intentional. Because sometimes when you're doing stuff like this, if you've got a concern for your own visibility, it's probably a good idea to play it a little bit close. To, you know, not give out more than what you think people would be able to track you down with. And as stupid as that sounds, it's also a reasonable concern in this day and age, with how quick people can find information about almost anybody. You know, the idea of the old, you know, egging or toilet paper prank is long since gone, unfortunately, and things have gotten a lot more scary.
Now they dox you.
Yeah. But what I want to bring specific mention to is something that doesn't have anything to do with me directly. Now, we were kind of making mention to this off the air, and I made mention to it to some friends earlier tonight, and a lot of us have heard about this one. Neil deGrasse Tyson, doctor, professor, incredibly brilliant and gentle man, Neil deGrasse Tyson has gotten a lot of crap for a post that he did out on Twitter, and it sucked people in and got them thinking one thing, and then the Twilight Zone twist moment came in, and wow, it's not what you thought it was. And we'll probably end up talking about it in a little bit. But how amazing is it to suddenly think, in 140-some-odd characters, he completely pulled the wool over everybody's eyes that is screaming and yelling about it. Whether they're saying that they're screaming in laughter or screaming in anger, people got roped in and did not expect what he did. And I will admit, like I said, you know, I'm one of those guys that got sucked in, and I didn't see it coming. And I should have. And it was really, really, it was really, really amazing to see for myself how easy it is to get duped. I mean, it's easy enough for us to go ahead and look back and say, well, of course you got duped by somebody who's that brilliant. I mean, come on, how could you have not seen that coming? And really, it's, you couldn't. If you are the type of person to look at and not read ahead, you don't know what's coming. And I think that's a really interesting, a really novel approach to trying to understand the human condition. What do you expect from people, especially from somebody as jovial, as fun as Neil deGrasse Tyson is? What did you expect? And why? And that was really amazing to me. Not realizing, and suddenly, boom, the floor comes out from underneath you. I laughed. And others did. Some Catholics did. Some Christians, some from all faiths and walks of life, said, you know what, this is actually pretty damned funny. And then a whole bunch of other people yelling and screaming and complaining. And why? Because their expectation of privilege was ripped out from underneath them and they were shown for being biased? Guess what? We all are. Sooner or later, that bias shows. And in my case, it made me laugh. Because I just had to see how ridiculous I was to my own face. We're going to end up talking about that in just a couple of moments. But first, who... Oh, Jack, that was you that did that. All right.
Yeah, you said you didn't read the post, so I sent it to you.
No. I read it, but I didn't read ahead. That was the point. So the tweet in question... In order to cover this, because like I said, we don't have any real topic. We're just going to talk. And if you would like to join us, by the way, being that we're coming up on New Year's, I got no problem with it. If you would like to join us, please use the question and answer system here on the Hangout. If you're with us live, I can talk. You know what? I need to have a little bit more wine. Yes, I decided I was going to have wine tonight.
That's what I got going.
Yep, I love my wine.
I just started drinking wine, actually. I've really liked it before.
Well, next time I come across, I have to talk with you about that and maybe bring my bottle. Anyway, so the tweet in question, let's see how well I remember what it was that he said. On this date, many years ago, a man was born who, by the age of 30, had changed how we looked at the world, or something like that.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Sir Isaac Newton. Born this date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I was absolutely floored because I did not read ahead, and I was thinking to myself, really? He's going to go ahead and do a whole thing about Jesus Christ because it's Christmas, it's the December 25th. And he pulled the wall out, the floor out from underneath me and a whole bunch of people. And it's like, you know what, Neil? Well done. Well done.
Yeah.
it was great. And by the way, Chris, greetings to you. And, of course, may Cthulhu look over you this week. Hope that things have gone well. So, Tech, you saw it, obviously enough. What did you think of it when you saw it come through? And first off, just the tweet itself, nothing else beyond it.
Okay.
Did you
when I saw the tweet about Sir Isaac Newton's birthday, I was like, yeah, that's correct. You know, he's factually correct according to our currently used calendar. And I thought, you know, for those people out there that don't, maybe they don't have a reason for this particular date to celebrate anything in particular, why not a famous historical person's birthday? You know, we've done that for presidents. You know, why not a scientist?
Sure.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but over in a section of Europe, don't they actually put famous historical figures on their money? That not presidential ones, but scientific ones.
Perfect opportunity. Yeah, go ahead. Explain that one, Joe. I mean, you've been there long enough to see the franc being changed out for the euros. So you've seen it all.
Just before the euro changed, it was Marie Curie was on the five franc piece, and there was the Petit Prince, the Little Prince, as you say. And when I first came here, the 20-franc bill was Ravel, was a piano player.
Wonderful.
Composer.
Okay, so an artist, not just a scientist, but an artist on another bill.
And 500 euros was Pascal, who was a big philosopher.
It's wonderful. All right, before we get off of that, best of your recollection, on the euro... the various euro dollar bill denominations. I will admit I am completely, absolutely ignorant of the euro. I don't know if it's paper, if it's plastic, if it's a combination of the two at this point.
It's paper.
Okay. And who is, best of your recollection, who is on?
That's even... I haven't a clue, actually, what's on the money.
Go get your wallet.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Well, now, hold on a second. Before you go and do that, there's another piece of this, too, that the euros are centric to each of the members of the EU countries. All of the mintings have different denominations for each of the different EU states. Yes.
Yeah, and I think it's just showing government buildings. That's it.
It'd be interesting to see. All right, we'll get Heretic Woman. Yeah, you get yours. Yes. I'll get Heretic Woman because she's got something similar for the Canadian currency.
Yeah, ours are all prime ministers, if memory serves.
Well, that's boring as hell.
Yeah, well, but then they have, like, scenes of moose and hockey players and things like that.
See,
now,
the thing is if it's all prime ministers, that's very, very similar to us having presidents.
Yes. Now, of course, we have the queen on the other side.
Which
Canada has a queen?
Yeah, well,
you explain it.
We are part of the Commonwealth countries, and the Queen is still technically our head of state, Queen Elizabeth, but she is kind of a rubber stamp figure. So you know, she shows up every 5 to 10 years, and everybody says, "Woo, it's the Queen," and all of that, but. Technically, like, for instance, when we instituted our Bill of Rights in, I think it was 1982, she came over and signed it and all of that. So she is on all of our money, all of it. Every single piece has a portrait of Queen Elizabeth on it. And then there's usually a prime minister on the other side. And we don't have that many bills anymore. And our bills are polymer now. So we have a $5, $10, $20, $50, and $100 bills. And just a couple of years ago, we got rid of the penny. So there are still pennies out there, but they are not being replaced. And we have a dollar and $2 is a coin, the loonie and the toonie.
And there are all kinds of
about the moon and the
Well, I was telling some of my other American friends long ago.
Loony.
Yeah. we also our coinage is completely infiltrated with American coins, and we don't care. We will take American coins exactly the same as it's been that way my entire life. We just don't like people come back from the States and they just throw the American money in with their ours, and we just take it the same.
Oh, I still see people on occasion who freak out over a Canadian penny.
Well, they freak out more now because we don't make them anymore.
Somebody was freaking out over a euro coin. It's like, I'll give you a dollar for that. Okay, thanks. No problem. Go to my bank and exchange it.
Yeah.
I'm at $2.
3 cents? Whatever. Yeah. But it's got the Pope on it.
And speaking of which, so you're
Pope
back.
On a world.
No. Kick his butt.
The Vatican has
somebody's watching
version.
You in the bathroom.
I'm sorry. The Vatican does have their own version of the euro, and it's very rare.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow that doesn't totally surprise me. So,
well, there's only, like, what, a couple hundred citizens of the Vatican anyway, right?
Yeah, that's...
And they're all men, which means they can't reproduce.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I don't know where the lines are here, so I was about to make a comment, but anyways.
that sounds like they need a moil.
Yeah, they might, yes.
If you're not going to use it anyway, right?
Okay, I have to ask, did moils get tipped?
Every day.
Usually they get to stay around for the feast.
Okay.
so long as there's no calamari, I don't care. So, Joe, you're back. What did you find on the bills that you've got while I see about pulling Chris in with us?
Yeah, well, I just got out a Euro bill, and I'm trying hard not to fall asleep. This has to be the most boring money. Can you see that?
Oh, it's a tortoise.
It's a tortoise.
It's the master's tortoise.
Dude,
right
that's
there.
That's priceless.
No, that actually, it's priceless. 50 euros.
There's Europe. And I'm probably around here. That's
you're
it.
You're somewhere inland.
Speaking of the TARDIS, now we've got a Dalek to go with it.
Yes.
Oh, yay.
Exterminate.
Yep. Joining us at this point, at least part of the way in, welcome back, Chris.
Hello, Chris. Oh, maybe he's not quite
there. This man has no microphone.
Well, I'm sure he'll chime in when he can.
Oh, we have a video. Do we have an audio?
Ooh, there's Chris. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey.
Great, our viewer count just went up by one.
All right.
Who knows?
I'm counting the panel
on this. Count?
Why not? Who knows? We may end up with we may end up in the double digits for a change. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
So
we might get 10.
We very well might. So we'll see how this plays out. Meanwhile, so as far as to, like I said, not exactly having a theme of sorts, we're obviously enough, we haven't gotten to the equivalent of 1 year worth of shows. Obviously, that'll be number 52, which is just a number, but I'm very much looking forward to that particular number, because that means that we've continued and been able to make this continue on, even on what would be the equivalent of the original shoestring leftover budget for the BBC for Doctor Who way back when, you know, when they had no budget. So I'm looking forward to that. So I'm hoping that we'll have some ideas as to what we want to talk about for tonight, things that we remember from the year, sort of in review of sorts, since New Year's is still coming up. I want to open up with something a little on the weird side, because I didn't really get the chance to talk about this much. This past Sunday, the little one and I went up to Toronto, and we helped out with a fursuiter. Yes, you heard the term right. Known as Flow Kitty. And we went up to Toronto, and we were up there with a bunch of other fursuiters in downtown Toronto. And we were hanging out, waving, taking pictures with people, and handing out candy canes and, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, all that. Which was a freaking blast. It was so much fun. Seeing the faces on everybody was great. I don't know how long I'll keep the pictures up for, but if you'd like to take a look at the ones that I've got, find me over on Flickr under the name Shujin Tribble, and you will see Flow Kitty's 2004 Jolly Walk. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
Did you go wearing a scarlet letter A?
I did not, as a matter of fact, and it was not that cold.
You're
really
warmed by the hellfire, you know?
But I got a really, really, really great compliment, which really helped up, because my next day at work was a bad one. I got a compliment from one of the people who said, you know what? I wasn't planning on coming, but because you were going, I decided that I would go.
There you go.
And I'm not going to name names, but I will simply say, thanks for hanging tough with me. You know who you are, and you don't need me to go ahead and say it. Thanks.
But ladies and gentlemen, you got to remember, just like he said, he had a bad day at work the next day, and any day at work is going to be bad when it involves a ceiling fan and a soldering iron.
Oh, if only it were that simple. Believe me. So I'm going to come back through the group at this point. Chris, good morning, first off, of course.
Yeah, good morning.
You could pull the microphone a little bit closer up towards your nose so we can hear you a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Is that working better now?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
So, first off, of course, good morning. I know it's O-Dark Stupid in the morning for you over there.
Yeah, it is indeed.
And let's start off with the good memories for this year so far. What have you got that's been good for you for 2014? And yes, it's properly pronounced 2014. Once you get past the tens, you have to do 20 and 2009, 2010. 2010 is too cumbersome. 2010. Get over itself, people. Sick and tired.
Well, personally, I'm in the middle of a career change at the moment, so I'm hopefully going in an exciting new direction.
Is that North Korea or South Korea? I'm sorry.
I'm not sure which. Preferably South. But in general, I think one of the most exciting things for 2014 was the Rosetta Comet landing.
Oh, that was that was wonderful.
It's a sort of major step forward in understanding comets and space flight in general, so that's great.
Oh, absolutely. And I for one, I can't wait when they can get that sucker to revive out of deep sleep once it gets closer to the sun and give us some more information. That's going to be wonderful. Do you have... other than I'm using the wrong term, but because I don't mean to be a pun on it, but do you have any kind of vested interest, so to speak, in it, or just plain straight-out curiosity?
Mainly plain curiosity, but I am also sort of in the middle of doing a physics degree with the Open University here. So... hopefully in the future I'll have a professional interest in such things.
Excellent. I'm hoping for you. All right, Heretic Woman, what do you got? Something fun. And the beatdown on Saiten is not qualified.
Well, I mean, I joined Twitter and, you know, found all of you people. That's new. So that's pretty cool, I think. And got my own show. So there's that. Debating a creationist in real time, face to face. That was fun.
Do tell.
Oh, I haven't told that story on the show. Oh, goodness.
Got about another hour to fill. I mean,
all right. in October. Well, first of all, I'd never really got in touch with any local atheists before. It just never occurred to me, really. And so I got on the meetup, and they broadcast that this creation person was coming to speak. So I thought, oh, this sounds like fun. So I decided to go. And I got there a little bit late. He had already started the presentation, so... the front row was almost completely empty, so I just kind of scooted around and grabbed a chair in the front because, hey, I'm short. I need to be in the front anyway. And so he did his thing, and he right at the Ken Ham School of Stupid. He was even an Aussie, so, you know. And he wouldn't let anybody speak until he finished the presentation, and it was like 90 minutes long and just awful. And I mean, I'm Googling stuff while he's talking. I'm like, well, that's not true. Well, that's not true. And big surprise. So at the end, I realized that the other atheists were sitting in the front two rows on the other side. And so we kind of figured out that we were the same. We were all heathens. So we got together at the end and we started to debate this guy, like, really lay into him because he was just being a dork. And we debated with the guy for probably another half an hour or so afterwards. And it was rather exhilarating to go head-to-head with the guy right in person. And at one point, because, as I say, he was an Aussie, at one point I said... asked him, I said, I gotta ask, you know, do you know Ken Ham? He's like, oh, he stays at my house. I'm like, I would not admit that in public, buddy, but whatever. So yeah, but then the funny part, this was on a Sunday, and that following Wednesday, my mother-in-law called me to go and help her. She bought a new computer, and she's still kind of figuring out how Windows 8 works and all of that, and I'm the on-call tech support, so I went over there to help her, because this was before, I actually have remote desktop on it now, so I don't have to go there, but I went over, and we were talking, whatever, and she is very religious, and the fact that I'm an atheist never really came up, and it's the kind of thing where she doesn't even compute that someone she is knows personally would not be a Christian. It just doesn't compute. So we're talking, and all of a sudden she says, "So, did you get any answers on Sunday?" And I'm like, "What? What do you mean?" She's like, "Oh, well, at the church. I was there in the audience." I was like, "Oh, no." Because, I mean, I went, like, militant atheist on this guy. So I had to kind of do a quick save, and I just kind of said, "Well, did you know, like, when he said this and this and this, I looked it up, and none of that's actually true." And she's like, "Really? Well, I bet no one else thought to look that up." I'm like, "Exactly. Gotta watch these guys." So I kind of, like, slid under the radar, but yeah, did not expect that anyone I knew would actually be there, so that was kind of, yeah.
I believe I believe the correct expression for that is, nice save.
Thank you. And the guy's name was Peter Sparrow, and him and his wife, they drive the creation bus all over Australia. And do, like, talks and... Oh, it was awful. And he was, like, targeting children. There's children there. And he was, like, you know, parroting shit at them. And at the end, he kept saying, "We have to evolution-proof our children." And I was like, "Oh, you're... No, you need to go. Get out of my country." So, yeah. That was fun, though. And then I got to... I met the local heathens, and then I got to carpool with some to the non-conference, which I think I told you guys about, the first ever non-believer conference in Toronto this year, and that was really awesome because I got to have dinner with Nate Phelps and Ali Rizvi and some other cool people, so yeah.
Cool. All right, Tech, how about for you? Other than, of course, gaining a new hat, what was fun for you for this past year?
Why are people taking pictures of me?
I don't know what's going on. Sorry.
Stop trying to get evidence against me in court. Okay, come on. Yeah. What was really fun? I think I had a really good time. It kind of went by not with a bang, but what you would say is a whimper. And what it was is mathematicians and scientists had released information that they were making a little bit of progress with making a computerized simulation of the universe, and that the math was leaning a little bit towards supporting the concept of a holographic universe on top of it. And so I that was really exciting for me. Whenever we get on, not here on the show, but whenever we as a whole humanity move even a fraction of an inch towards understanding something a little bit more about the universe around us, that to me just, you know, that makes me giddy. I love that. I love the feeling. And it, you know, it fills me with hope. So anytime that happens, you know, that's something that is substantial and exciting. Whereas I know other people were looking at that going, that's a bunch of math nerds sitting around, you know, crunching numbers on a piece of paper on a computer. And it's like, no. It's so much more than that. But
very,
once again, you know, if you don't even have the slightest background or even the slightest interest in that stuff, it goes by with a whimper, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, bang.
Yeah, I hear
you. Oh, yeah.
Very much so. All right. Joe, we'll get to you in just a couple moments. We did have a message come through on the Q&A system, and of course, thank you very much for that. Normally our policy is to just use the first name. However, in this case, because of the way that the account name is showing up, I will call this person Phil. I'm assuming it's Philip, but still, Phil is what's listed over there. Who is commenting. First off, of course, thank you very much for taking the time and watching and commenting. With a comment of, it's a very divided world, which, capital W world, so I'm going to assume a little bit more on that for just a little bit. I don't know that it is, really. To me, when it all comes down to it, there's very little that makes us different as compared to keeps us the same. There are certain things, of course, that, you know, for instance, I don't personally think that chopping off somebody's hands for petty theft is such a good deterrent or a punishment, but that's just me. You know, maybe it's one too many Disney movies for me. But I think that we're far closer than we are divided. But yeah, there's always going to be divisions out there. I mean, there's economic divisions, there's educational divisions, there's divisions of language, amongst other things. But you know, when all is said and done, I think we're pretty much a good group, really. I mean, we can all pretty much agree that Groot is definitely one of the best characters that's ever been put to celluloid. So there you go. I mean, right there. That's a good piece right there. And we can all pretty much agree that the idea of bronies is pretty much a silly item that even the guys from Monty Python would mock. And rightly so. So, you know, we're not so different, really. Comes down to it. I can take a ribbon as much as anybody else. But if maybe this is the heavy-duty Buddha in me, and I say that only because I'm fat, and I'll be the first to admit it. Don't think so much of people as being divisive or being separated. We're all just trying to do the same thing. We're all just trying to live through our lives, get through each day, preferably get paid, be warm, be cool, be fed, be safe, and loved. You know what? I don't think we're really that different, most of us, from one to the other.
Yeah, I would agree that in actuality that we're not that different. And it just seems a shame that there are a lot of people who go out of their way to see divisions which either aren't there or don't matter in the slightest.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's a perfect example. All right, you know what? This is an opportunity. Joe, I'm going to give it you first shot on this one. I'm going to hit the easiest low-hanging fruit over here in the U.S. Who wants to make us a divided group? The guys who are out there with the protest signs, with all of the God hates fags things that are all rainbow-colored, which is the pinging my irony police. Who wants to make us divided?
The church?
Yeah.
Duh.
Yes, that's an easy one. All right. So fine. Besides the church, who else knows of somebody that wants to go ahead and divide us, or what division lines there are that people want to go ahead and use?
Coke and Pepsi.
You. Wow. The worst part is you're so right.
I'm a piece of tea.
Yeah. There you go. There's a perfect example. It doesn't mean anything to anybody, and there you go. There's got to be something similar on your side of the border, too, Heretic Woman.
I'm trying to think.
I'll give you a hint. Montreal.
Oh, yes, the separatists.
See, there you go. And Yeah, and Chris, this again, your side, there's got to be somebody that it really doesn't mean a hell of a lot of anything, but they want to go ahead and make it an issue. Go ahead, who?
I'd say it's going to be religious communities over here. I know that's always been covered, but England's very multicultural, so we've got sort of Islamic communities, which some of them sort of stay very much to themselves and don't interact with the wider community, and we've got other communities that do similar things. And without the opportunity of actually getting to know individuals from different communities, it's very easy to see people as different.
Sure. And there's another one that...
Sorry.
Who is going?
Me. I'd just like to take it one level higher.
Sure.
It's not people making divisions that bothers me. It's people following people who make divisions that bothers me.
That's
not thinking for themselves in general, because anybody who can think for themselves, they don't see divisions.
Yeah, that's a wonderful point. That's something for sure. The other item that I was going to pull out, because it's something that's getting people all kinds of riled up, that doesn't mean squat in the grand scheme of things, and Chris, I'm going to have the camera on you for a couple of seconds for your reaction specifically. The big uproar, the big furor that the next James Bond cannot possibly be someone who is dark-skinned or possibly African descendant. What? Have you heard about this?
I've not heard of this.
There's yeah.
Well, the Equalizer, they just did. No.
I mean, it may be inconsistent with, the character on there for James Bond being originally of Scottish extraction, the character, but on an easier one perhaps would be Doctor Who. I see that reason why that character couldn't be of a different ethnic origin or a different gender.
Different planet. Why not?
Human? That's right. Well, there's two problems with that. One, they've already established that he's from the North, and of course, as we all know, everybody's got a different way of talking in the North. And the horrid movie where they said he was half human. I know. I'm sorry. I have it on
about that.
I'm sorry?
We don't talk about that movie.
No. Yes, when your primary antagonist is outperformed by a CGI jello snake, yeah, that doesn't bode well at all.
See, I'm not into Doctor Who, so I don't know any of this.
It's okay. Yeah. We'll just be looking for a new co-host in a couple of weeks.
Although I liked Torchwood, which I know comes from Doctor Who, but the original Doctor Who, I saw it in the 70s, and for first it scared the crap out of me because I was little, and then I went, Star Trek has better special effects than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the recent reboot is much improved on that aspect.
I believe it. I don't know. I never got into it. I'm a Trekkie.
There's nothing wrong with that. Considering that there was an actual budget with the guys at Desilu as opposed to the BBC.
Yes.
Yeah. But, to be expected. Okay, backtracking. Because we kind of got interrupted and sidetracked, Joe, for your fun, for your smile for this past year, what comes to mind first off for you now?
Well, 2014 is probably, it's weird how the memory works, but it's the longest year. In my memory, it's like a decade, but it just went by in a flash at the same time. Most memorable. Honestly, I haven't got anything for me. It's all personal stuff.
But that's fair.
I've come to some understandings. Mm-hmm. Stop drinking.
That's well, about it. I would say that I kind of follow along with that, but that's the problem right there. Because
it wasn't even my decision. It was my brain who decided it for me. So
no, well, it was physics for me now because it's
empty.
It.
You have no choice but.
Why's the rum gone?
I don't like rum. I don't like hard liquors. So
I love rum.
You know what? I've tried it. It's like turpentine to me. Just can't be bothered.
Let's try the Kraken. That one's a nice dark rum with a lot of flavor to it.
As somebody who's played a lot
especially
of
especially really program, good to bake with.
No, did you like say Kraken?
Yeah, the Kraken.
Release the Kraken?
Like
okay.
The sea monster?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
Okay.
All right, so let's see. What else am I remembering? Well, like I said, I mean, even though I didn't want to make reference to it, it was this past year, if I remember right, that we had two very, very publicized debates, if you can even call them that, which was Matt Dillahunty and Sight and Brugenkate, as well as Ken Ham and Bill Nye. And if memory serves, those were both this past year.
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't classify those as a debate.
Yeah.
But you know, your point of view, what could possibly change your mind? Absolutely nothing. Well, then it ceases being a debate.
Yeah. My favorite is Psy, you know, oh, you guys know there's a God, you just don't want to admit it. Really? Or we're still back at that.
Or how about his cheesy cop-out for when the questions were coming from the crowd?
I don't do Bible goes, I do study. I do not do Bible study with atheists. Ugh.
Yeah, he wouldn't talk about a single Bible question with anybody who was a self-proclaimed atheist.
Nope.
And I was like, dude, you're a cop-out. You know,
big time.
You're not a debater.
Mm-hmm.
You might be a master debater, but that's a different kind.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, you party of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like a big appeal to authority, and he can't even prove that authority exists. I mean.
Yeah. That kind of apologetics just makes me mad. It's so slimy and intellectually dishonest.
And I don't even know if it really counts as apologetics. Apologetics meaning to speak in the defense of something. If all you're doing is just asserting, you know, your belief is correct, you're not providing any sort of rationale or evidence to support it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it barely qualifies as an apologetic. Possibly it may be some false flag movement by evil atheists to make Christians look dumb.
They don't need atheists for that.
No. What I think is funny is Ken Ham is having a hissy fit now. You know, several weeks after he lost his $18 million tax incentive from Kentucky. Yeah, that didn't go through.
That's awesome.
He's claiming that the state violated his company's constitutional right to hire only creationist Christians as employees, and he's blaming all the atheist groups for forcing the state to deny the tax incentive. And his attorney, the Ark Counter attorney Mike Johnson, called it tragic and insisted that the company had a right to discriminate against employees. By the way, he was appearing on Fox News. What a surprise there. That, you know, his company had a right to discriminate against employees like all other religious organizations. And he's planning a lawsuit against the state. But what he forgot to mention was the fact that Ark Encounters is a for-profit business.
I was going to say.
Not a non-profit.
If you're a non-profit religious organization, then you can discriminate, but not if you want to be a for-profit enterprise. Oh, no, no. And you cannot have it both ways, so, yeah.
Well, there is Hobby Lobby.
Oh, yes. God, don't get me started on that.
Yeah, that's a...
Fact that how some of their 401k plans were coming from, contraceptive companies?
Yep.
Amongst other things. Ooh. Yeah. Joe, let me bring it your way on this one. I'm assuming that you guys had heard about, first off, both of these debates and what's been happening with the Ken Ham's Ark Encounter Park building tax incentive fiasco. Had you heard about that on your side also?
I'm following it, but I mean, all of this is like totally under the radar here. I mean, it's not part of French people in general. It doesn't make the news here.
Well, thank goodness we don't look like complete idiots to everybody.
to be fair,
there's a section of the world we can go and hide when this place goes to crap.
Actually,
yeah, the others feel sorry for you. That's all.
Yeah. Personally, my plan is to swim my ass over to Australia as quick as I can. Chris, the same thing for you.
Yeah, I was going to say the Ken Ham debacle's not made the mainstream news over here, as far as I'm aware. I'm only aware of it through covering through sort of the atheist community on there, and it just strikes me that they should have applied the rules about the tax break right from the start, as it was obviously a for-profit enterprise.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. You're like watching... I'm sorry?
I said, like any religion, it's a for-profit enterprise.
By the way, Susan, I've been thinking very much about this one. I've been thinking about it for a very long time. You know, you don't really need to tell people in the middle of the program what they're watching, because if they're tuning in through YouTube, it says so underneath the video.
Yeah. It's a holdover for me, because I can't exactly explain it other than saying
it's a
holdover from the from my doing
reflex.
Radio stuff. It sort of is.
It's a reflex.
It feels wrong not to have done it. That's my thing. Anyway,
yeah, Bogey, like you did miss something. First, the universe was formed, and then the Earth.
And then there were radio DJs.
And then the Earth cooled.
And then the dinosaurs came.
I just
watched Airplane the other day, and he goes through that whole spiel. If you guys remember that at all, Airplane.
Don't call me Shirley.
Yes. There's one part where it's like, start from the beginning. Well, first the Earth cooled, and then the dinosaurs came, and then.
Oh, God, really? I gotta go ahead and I gotta do this.
Or how about when the stewardess asked the little boy who was getting an ice cream sundae, how would you like your nuts crushed?
Yeah.
And he pulls the little pistol. How would you like your beep blown off?
But we'll come back to that. Okay, Phil, because I would like to give the benefit of the doubt as much as possible, I would like to ask you to please reword the question that you threw, that you put through the question and answer system, because what you have typed up here, for some reason, reads as if it had gone through a Google Translate from a different language. Now, I'm not saying that to be mean-spirited at all, but it's a matter of that I don't understand what it is that you're trying to get across, and I'd very much like to go ahead and ask the question, put forward the question properly as you're supposed to be asking it, as opposed to my trying to interpret what it is and accidentally saying it wrong. So if you'd take the time to redo that for us, that would be wonderful. Thank you very kindly. And Bogey, first off, of course, yes, Thank you very much for watching. We have a lot of Canadians. Well, you know,
just one and a half.
And that's okay, because
Canadians on the show.
Yeah,
I'm a diplomat.
You, that's a good
I'm a diplomat.
Well, here, you know, if that's offensive to some people, I just say to the rest of the hosts of the show, just go out and spend ungodly amounts of money on things that you don't absolutely need, and then we'll call you American.
There you go.
Make sure you throw it out the next day, though.
There is a... But truth be told, because the show is hosted by me, and I am admittedly American, I have found it exceedingly, exceedingly necessary to gain as many perspectives as possible. So if that means people who are of a different sex from me, a different gender from me, the two are different, of course, a different economic, social, geographic, political background, any opportunity to learn more from people from different areas, from disparate locations and, you know, different areas, period, is a necessity to get a better idea as to what's going on. So, you know what? Do I have a lot of Canadians? I don't have as many as I normally would, so...
There's more?
That's okay. Well, normally Dallin would be with us, but I don't know where he is. It's entirely possible that he is tired out of his skull and is sleeping it off, which would not surprise me in the least. He's been busy. But that's okay. With any luck, we'll get him back again soon. Joe, I know full well, is, or at least was, with family for the holiday. So, you know, just take care of yourself, man. Thank you.
Yes, and Joe fills the gun-toting American gap, and I fill the cheeseburger-eating American gap.
There you go.
I'm very good at eating the cheeseburger.
So you got your bases covered.
So bacon cheeseburger especially.
Oh, hell yes.
Kirby's.
So, all right, we've covered the good stuff for the year.
I have bacon pop rocks around here somewhere.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
I was just saying the other day that bacon is meat candy.
This is close enough. Okay, so the year is coming to a close. We've had some really cool stuff, some really good stuff that we've enjoyed. What's been on the opposite side of that? There's got to be some stuff that unfortunately ends up popping that we don't like to have happen. And I want to hit Robin Williams. It was an incredibly decimating blow to the entertainment industry and to people who understand what it is to have depression and to hide it, especially like he did. So, for those of you that are feeling it, you're not alone. Don't ever think that you're alone. There's good times, there's bad times, sometimes more than of one than another. But there's always somebody who's willing to help you out. There always will be. So, for the bad side of things, who wants to go ahead and get something simple and easy and get it the hell out of here so we can move on to something else?
The latest vote in the U.S.? The Republicans being voted back into power, and I mean in Congress and the House, but just wrapping my head around how that happened. I mean, there's just so much to explain there. I got so many questions anyways.
I hear that.
For me, that it's been, unfortunately, the bad side is generally sort of what seems to be some continuing insanity in the world. Things like the Hobby Lobby decision, the decision to prosecute the kid who took his picture with the statue of Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
The recent Republican victory. And we, you know, there's the continuing sort of wars and mass shootings, you know, and police officers being involved in shootings, etc. That's been going on throughout the year, which has been unhappy to see that continuing, and it may just be that it's, I'm remembering things that have happened relatively recently, but there does seem in my mind to be an increase in nuttiness around the world.
Keck?
Enjoying his pop rocks.
My mistake this year was opening the packet and eating the bacon flavored pop rocks because they have an aftertaste that's similar to like,
you don't want to remember.
Oh God. Like Hulk, it has a medicinal aftertaste to it. Something like Hall's aftertaste.
No, gross.
I mean, the first taste of it is like, oh, this is bacony. It's like, no, it's not anymore. Oh, God. I'm going to give the other packet to my boss. Make him eat it. All right, so what was the question again?
Yeah, the stuff that for this year you just look back on and wince and... The bad side.
Oh, the biggest thing that I really winced at is because it hit me personally very hard was when the fraternity at the college was ganged up on by a news reporter. And the reason why the news report was basically ganged up on was a declaration of, well, these young ladies were raped, and one person in particular declared gang rape, and the school, the university, did absolutely nothing about it. And it turns out that the reporter just really didn't do their research. And, you know, but once again, despite the retraction of the article and them saying this, that, and the other thing, that fraternity within the university, their reputation is tarnished, and so is the men that work there. But more specifically, there was a young man who was accused of rape by multiple women. In fact, one woman was so upset that she was carrying around a mattress. So I think you guys are familiar with that case.
Yes, yes.
His life is basically ruined. But despite the fact the declarations of rape, absolutely none of the women filed police reports. None of them. It's like, I'm sorry. When, you know, I was sexually assaulted in my relationship with my ex, and I filed a police report. I was laughed out of the office. I was laughed out of the sheriff's office until a woman police officer took me seriously. But I filed the damn report. You cannot tell me that three different women who are all claiming that the same man or young man raped them, all of them refused to file police reports because it was just too much effort, or they didn't have the time to do it, or, you know, when they were trying to be interviewed, they didn't have time to be interviewed after they made their declaration of rape. And yet this young man, he has his name all over the place, you know, trying to go out and get jobs and things. People look at him and it's like, he made the news. He's when he graduates, he's considering. He's already gone on, considering moving, possibly out of the country, because of a couple accusations. I take rape accusations very seriously. I don't care who makes the accusation, but if you're not going to back it up with police, you know, filing a police report, getting as much evidence as you can, and taking it and prosecuting it, then I'm sorry, but I can't take it seriously, because that is the process that you must go through, as painful as it can be, as painful as my experience was. It's devastating to sit there in the police precinct, and in my case, actually have a police officer laugh at you, not think that they're laughing at you, but actually see it. You know, that is a devastation on an emotional level that I don't wish upon any rape victim. But you have to file. You have to get it on record. You have to be willing to take it to court. Otherwise, you're making an accusation that can ruin a person's life, and you have no proof. And we as a people should not be taking the accusations seriously unless somebody's willing to follow through with the accusation. Because right now, there are women who are using false accusations of rape to target men for one reason or another. There are many women who have been found out to have declared false cases of rape. One young lady who was in a high school did it because she didn't want to get caught smoking. So some guy who was a construction worker who was shown on camera to not even be in the section of school on the day that she accused him, to be nowhere near her at all, any time during the day, it doesn't matter. He lost his job. He went to jail. Finding a job for him is almost impossible. He's supported by his wife. And even then, she has a hard time. So, it's insane. It's got to stop.
I've often thought that if you can,
well, heretic,
if someone can prove that someone lied, then they should be nailed to the wall.
The problem is that when a woman does it, whether she does let's say we have woman A who falsely accuses man A of rape because, let's say, he called her a nasty name after she cut him off in traffic, and she knows him personally, so she makes a false accusation of rape.
Yes.
What happens is, instead of the man being questioned and everything else, he's automatically arrested.
Right.
Now, if a man accuses a woman of rape, there is no automatic arrest. Okay? It's not treated the same.
No, and I think it should be.
And here's the other thing. You're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. What's this automatic arrest of the man crap?
Okay. Chris,
but you have extremely outspoken feminist groups who, as soon as nothing happens, the very second a woman cries rape, they go on the press and try to make everybody look bad. Politicians and police, and that forces their hand to do the things that they're not supposed to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, go ahead.
I'm going to say, Tech, I'm going to jump in on a couple of points you made there, and I'm glad you covered that reliving in detail that experience, you know, in order to make a police report for any crime, particularly something as horrible as rape, can be very traumatic. But there is a widespread problem throughout the world of cases of rape, sexual assault, domestic violence, being massively underreported. And I think there's got to be a way of making this reporting process easier. And I know that you may get some, end up investigating some people that perhaps don't need to be. The media also needs to be more responsible in how they handle this. I don't have any problem with people being arrested for questioning if serious allegations been made out of them. But it does need to be treated both the same, because I know domestic violence against men is also massively underreported, and people's complaints are not taken seriously.
Yeah.
But it's shocking the number of sort of college campuses that have sort of allowed this thing to go on. And every time sort of level of sort of, say, sort of CCTV or, you know, coverage are increased, or there's a proposal for, say, police officers or whatever to wear body cameras, people go on about privacy rights and paranoia, but I'm thinking that there is so much of this stuff going on, that it needs to be done to protect people.
Mm-hmm.
Both say that. Victims and the accused.
Yeah, very much. Joe, did you want to drop anything in at this point? I didn't see you wanting to before, but I figured before I try to slide along from this, I'll give you an opportunity also.
About what? Sorry.
Well, considering the pieces that were being discussed as far as to the personal attacks and rape, such like that.
The rape thing, I'm just, for me, it's something about society as a whole, because, I mean, it's such an emotional issue for everybody that people are scared to report it. And also the press always makes such a big issue out of it. You know, it's kind of like a witch hunt mentality I'd like to see disappear.
You know what? There's a certain something about that I think is very, very important also. And you're quite right. And this kind of comes into what Tech was saying a couple of moments ago. And Katie, by the way, thank you very much for that. As you see, your comment is still up over there, and we'll get to it in a couple of moments. Never mind the for a couple of moments. Never mind the idea that people want to yell and scream as soon as something may or may not necessarily be reported accurately, so to speak. The witch hunt mentality that was just mentioned is a huge, huge problem for the news industry at large. And we've known this for a long time. As the expression goes, as we've heard on many an occasion, if it bleeds, it leads. And that is annoying as all get out, because it's become a vicious circular cycle. If it's not huge news, if it's not something that's just going to get an incredibly visceral reaction right off the bat, why even bother bringing it out there? Because you want something that's, what we call it now, is clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, it was sensationalism in news. But it's still the same damn witch hunt idea. One of the things that I can think of, not necessarily from this year, but that was a great example of this, was the furor that happened in New York City when a mosque was proposed for construction in Manhattan, not very far away from the financial district, a.k.a. what has been since termed Ground Zero, which is a term I absolutely freaking hate. And there was furor, there was people stoking the fires about it, yelling and screaming and ranting and raving up and down, left and right, and it became international news because. Heretic Woman, I'm going to give you first shot on this one for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to grab on this one?
Well, I think it would be a good idea if they put a publication ban on both parties' names being released until there was a conviction. That would solve a lot of issues, I think. And then once somebody is convicted, their name goes everywhere, like, you know, registries and the whole nine yards. If you're convicted, you're toast. But nobody should know who that, because they're right. The minute somebody is accused of a rape or molestation or something like that, it doesn't matter if you're innocent. If you're accused and the press gets a hold of it, you're guilty. And that's not right.
Yeah,
even after you're proven innocent, you're still guilty.
Exactly. Because people won't believe it. They'll be like, oh, well, they must have got off on a technicality or some crap like that. They don't believe it. And if the press was prohibited from releasing any details at all until afterwards, and that actually happens fairly regularly up here with sensitive trials and things. It is quite common for a judge to prohibit the release of any details of a trial or anything until a decision has been rendered. So it does happen, although it's not as much anymore, come to think of it. At least I haven't heard of it as often. But, for instance, when we had the sensational Paul Bernardo trial back in the 90s, that was a major ban order, gag order, as they call it. There was no reporting on any details of that at all until after both Homolka and Bernardo had been convicted.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. Yes, Joe.
Oh, well, I just kind of, what ties this all together for me is just a general lack of critical thinking, critical thought. Because, you know, if that has to go mainstream in the media, I mean, because like everybody is just, how can I put it, getting off on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's what's prevalent. And I'd like to see that go away.
Yeah, I mean, the critical thinking skills, they're diminished when you put some kind of religious dogma indoctrination ingrained into the studies. You say, okay, you can ask these questions unless it's about this religion, in which case you can't ask any questions. You have to accept these as answers, as facts, even though they don't hold up to scrutiny, and you will accept this as normal. Well, wait a minute. You know, you can't teach you can't teach it like that. It doesn't work. Okay, you get people who can't think for themselves. You get people who don't have critical thinking skills. Our schools are not designed to indoctrinate anybody into anything. It's designed to teach them how to, in theory, how to learn, how to ask questions, how to find answers, how to fact check, how to resource check, how arts and music, things like that. And as for the religious aspect, that's supposed to be taken care of by family members or churches, mosques, religious leaders, things like that. They have no place in our U.S. schools. They're not supposed to be there. And we are seeing, because of the rise of the non-believer, the numbers of people who are openly admitting that they're a non-believer or that they're an atheist or secular humanist, anything other than Christian, Jew, or any other acceptable religion in the U.S., the religions are becoming afraid, and the various groups are pushing to get their religions into the school by hell or high water, whether that's by passing out Gideon Bibles or pamphlets or calling their group by some name that doesn't sound religious so that they can get into the after-school activities on the school, you know?
Yeah. Right. And, I just wanted to make one point about the schools. Yeah, education, but the schools are still not teaching critical thinking. They're just teaching facts, like memorization.
Yeah, and
right.
We're going to hit that in a second. Chris, yeah, the idea of kind of bringing back a sec, give you your shot on it, the witch hunt in the media thing.
I think 2014 and I think the end of 2013 in the UK has been a great examples of this. There were a number of celebrities, British ones, major and minor, from, say, the 60s through to the 80s, and a whole spate of sexual assault and indecency, rape type accusations were made against a number of celebrities, including one of them was that a radio DJ assaulted some woman like in the toilets of at a concert, in the gentleman's toilets at a concert in like 1968 or something ridiculous like this. There was no former complaint, you know, made anywhere near the time, and this was all over the press. Is name was being dragged through the gutter, and a number of other accusations followed. Basically, if it's been 30, 40 years on there, at the end of the day, you've got two people's stories. It's unlikely that either of them are going to remember it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what she was doing in the gentleman's toilet at the concert anyway. But
oh, hold on. Let me just say one thing real quick. Speaking as the victim and the trauma, it's been 7 years going on. Yeah, 7 years and a couple months. And I can still remember the day clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember every detail.
Okay.
But you're right. The average case might not.
Yeah, this was something in the order that he'd grabbed her ass or something. And obviously she may have found that traumatic. At the time, she may have not. But for some reason, she's now dragging that out 40 years later. And I'm not wishing to cause you any offense or disrespect.
I just wanted you to understand that for some people, some can remember, depending on the trauma.
I'd say your memories of the day may very well be clear and vivid, but if you were to go back and compare them with, you know, if it was available a videotape of that day, I would be willing to bet there would be significant details that would be different, because every time you replay a memory through your brain, it subtly sort of changes over time. This has been tested by and shown by sort of neurologists and brain researchers. Steve Novella over at the Skeptic's Guide has written some very interesting articles on this, and seen some of his lectures on that after any significant length of time has passed, your memories may not match up with the details that have happened. And if it's 30, 40 years ago, they did a test with the Challenger disaster, something that was very unique, and people who were eyewitnesses at the time, and none of their stories matched up.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's something that gets to be way too much of a problem. And unfortunately, it's something that we've, as a society, I don't believe that it's isolated just to the U.S., but it's become much more prevalent of, you know, if it's exciting, that may not necessarily even be the right terminology for it, it needs to be out there all over the place. Otherwise, you'll lose your market share and nobody will pay attention to you because you're behind the curve, and it's all about getting the people to support you afterwards from the corporate entities and advertising space.
Yeah.
My case might be different because I never tried to block out the event.
Right.
So that may be why my recollection is so not vivid. While it's so consistent, it's almost like recall. Okay? Like somebody who has perfect memory, but for an isolated event, is because maybe it's because I, unlike many victims, didn't try to block it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know full well that I would speak on behalf of everybody, current and former hosts, for saying for you, good on you for being able to survive all this time. Never mind anything
else.
I have a son. So, what else am I going to do? Shut down for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Heritage woman.
I can contrast a little bit of that, actually, because I was molested as a child, and that's 30 odd years ago. And even though that is incredibly significant, the details have blurred over time, absolutely. And I of course don't want to remember some of that, and that's absolutely part of it, for sure. But there are some things that I do remember, and some things that have faded, and you know, the person's dead, so there's no point in really trying to maintain that. So, you know, as it fades, it's like, you know what? It can go.
Yeah, I mean, this brings us back around to what Tech was covering about reporting any sort of crimes you're a witness or a victim of.
Yep.
And doing it as soon as possible.
And well,
so writing down, recording details.
And to wit,
it will,
absolutely. And I mean,
a lawyer will find gaps or holes to poke into.
Unfortunately, I never got the chance. I did report it about 3 years later, and nothing was done. So they got away with it.
And if you know something about how the human brain works, actually, your memories are memories of memories. So you've got the hippocampus. When something happens, the hippocampus, for neurogenesis, it creates, it stores the memory. And if the brain thinks the memory is important, then it's going to be transferred to your neocortex, which means your permanent memory. So during that time, you know, if something happens and it's not deemed so important, but you've still got part of the memory, you may be attaching other elements to it that, you know, it's an easy process to corrupt. So it is important to get it on paper as soon as it happens, as soon as the memory is still in its first stage in your mind.
Yeah, certainly. Discussing it with other people, or if it's a shared event, hearing different versions of it can sort of lead to sort of an amalgamated memory.
Yes. Well, and now in this day and age, too, most people have smartphones that have voice recorders, and, you know, or even if it doesn't have a voice recorder, it might have video. So, just, you know, talk it out to yourself on your phone.
Yeah. Now, before we close out this piece, I want everybody, and especially you, Tech, I want everyone to understand, what we're discussing is not that we don't believe anybody.
Uh-huh.
It's that the mental processes that go into this are incredibly, incredibly complicated and incredibly nuanced. We are not in any way saying that we disbelieve anybody. Quite the contrary. It's that somebody who is able to hold on to these memories, it's never mind the veracity for a second, holding on to traumatic memories, no matter what they're of, is not an easy thing to do, period. There are all too many people who end up offing themselves because they can't handle the memories. And that is a piece that I feel is incredibly necessary that people understand. We don't ever want you to think, any of you who might be going through whatever, that we're not going to believe you. We want you to understand that we will try our damnedest to recognize how tough whatever it is you've got might be to hold on to. And we will do our damnedest anytime that we can to make it as easy to convey as possible, as anti, what would be the right term for it? As anti-traumatic as possible. It's not the right term, but I'm hoping that the idea gets across to folks, which is the most important piece of it.
I will admit that the hardest part about the whole ordeal was trying to write down all the details. Not because I couldn't remember the details. That wasn't a problem. It was because in the act of remembering, in the act of writing it down, You relive it, and it's like it's happening all over again. It's very hard. It took me an hour and a half to write several paragraphs, which is very unusual for me. And it ultimately took the assistant of a family member for me to dictate to for the remainder paragraph, because I could not hold the pen anymore. So when somebody says that they couldn't go through with reporting it, I understand the trauma, but you must, for the sake of yourself, for the sake of other people who could be potentially harmed in the future, you must report it. You must find that strength and go and report it, no matter what.
Yeah, and we're going to...
Things like voice recording may also be an option to look at, because there is something about the physical act of writing which sort of reinforce or intensify memories, because it's an activity that you have to focus on more than sort of writing. Sorry, more than talking.
Yeah, which I think is probably as good a point as any for us to cap that one off for the time being. I know full well we're going to end up revisiting this time and time again over as the episodes go on. I understand that, and I would expect no less. But for right now, we're gonna go ahead and leave that guy for now, and kind of move along from here, because we got just a little bit more time left over here. Katie, I did tell you that we were gonna get to you. Katie had also pointed up earlier the rise of ISIS is also another troubling thing that's come up through this year. When the Taliban tells you, dudes, you're kind of a little over the edge, that's pretty much a good sign right there that things are just a little above and beyond.
Yeah.
The
when the Taliban tells you that you're too extreme, you know you've got issues.
See, this is a whole comedic area where the whole "you might be a redneck" needs to be revisited and redone for. You might be from ISIS, but that's a thing. I don't know. I didn't really follow Jeff Foxworthy. That's who it was. See, it took me a while to even remember that much. I remember Red Green, but
Jeff Foxworthy is not Canadian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Red Green is funny.
He's very Canadian. Yes.
He very much so. If you guys don't know about Red Green, look him up. It's actually spelled the way you'd expect it to be.
You know, he used to have a show in the 70s called Smith and Smith.
Yep, that was with the guy who eventually ended up on the Red Green show with him, wasn't it?
Yes. Well, it was mainly with his wife, who had the most unusual name for a showbiz person ever. Her name is Morag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
But there was that. And what else was it that that Katie had put? Katie, the other piece that you've got over here, I probably should have brought it in while we were discussing it before with the other stuff. I'm going to leave that one aside for now. Please bring it back to us when we get back around to the topic. Again later. I don't want to reopen at this point for your comment. Don't get me wrong, it's a good point, but I just don't want to muck us into that, because we got to see about getting ready to close up shop over here.
I don't think we're going to get a reworking of Phil's statement there. I was checking out his G+ page, and you know he's got stuff on there for Knights of some Christian crusade, and talking about, you know, you've got to get ready to, you know, death before dishonor, and all this other stuff. I was like, okay. We're familiar with those kinds of statements, and, you know, I think we're good.
Yes, but the point of it was what the specifics were with what was written. Like I said, I don't want to go ahead and read it as written, on the assumption that perhaps it had gone through a bad translator for some reason or another, which is entirely possible, in which case the legibility would be a problem with the translation system versus the person's statements. And I would much rather have a person's statements better put so that we can deal with it directly, as opposed to, okay, this sounds like gobbledygook, you probably don't know what the hell you're talking about, and you can't put together a cohesive sentence structure, grammar, thank you, so we're not going to go ahead and treat you nice. I don't want to do that. I would much rather have it from as close to what the person is really trying to get across as possible. So we'll go with that, and we'll revisit Phil a little bit later if something should ever come up. And you're entirely invited to go ahead and put your stuff to us. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, all these different perspectives is really the whole purpose of it all.
Yeah, it's just what I'm reading from Phil there is more of a statement than a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's also part of the reason why I don't want to read it as written until I've got a much, much better idea as to what the point is that's trying to get across. So think of it this way. I am trying very hard to not inadvertently put a straw man out there, is really what it comes down to. I'm trying to respect the people who want to take the time. Whether we agree or disagree, I would much rather respect the integrity of whoever it is wants to take the time to type. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, you usually do a fairly good job on that, Shujin, from some of my comments that you've dealt with in the past, where I've tried to cram into 200 characters or whatever the limit is on here some fairly involved point.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. So we've got Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Festivus, Massmas, Mithmas, the Passover of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, whatever it is, and Yule. And before the next... Yes. And before the next show, we will be crossing over from 2014 to 2015. And there are, of course, a number of pieces that have come up with that. So I would like to know from you guys, not a prognostication on the new year, not a, I want to lose 10 pounds in the first 3 months. I don't want anything like that, but I want to know from you guys, what are you hopeful for the new year? Not what you're hoping is going to happen. What are you hopeful for that you can look at and go, yeah, that's going to be a thing, man. And I don't remember who I... You know what, Tech? I don't think that I've actually started with you on a subject so far for tonight. So let me give you your chance to kick off this one. You're hopeful for watching your boss's face when he eats those Pop Rocks.
That's going to be priceless. Unless he watches the show, in which case, yeah.
Yeah, all
bets right. Exactly. I'll have to get one of my coworkers at that time. You know, I take it one day at a time with everything, the custody exchanges, the back and forth with my son's mom and her mood swings, work, everything that goes on with being a government contractor, the whole nine yards. It's just... I think I'm in a good spot, and I'd like to see it not just stagnate at a plateau, but improve a little bit from where it is right now. Just a little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. And I know that depends entirely on my efforts as well as a little bit of luck of the draw. So hopefully the luck of the draw will be a little bit more on the positive side this year and coincide with my efforts.
Fair enough. Joe, how about for you, other than getting to see the streetlights switch again in the mornings?
Oh, yeah, well, that's every morning if I can do that. I'm just optimistic. I see something happening this, how do you say this, anti-religion thing? You know, when people finally start thinking for themselves, I mean, it's going to be like a landslide. It's all going to happen at once. And I'm just becoming more and more optimistic towards that happening in the near future. So I hope I'm helping a bit.
Forgive the pun, but approaching critical mass, so to speak.
Yeah. Event horizon, I guess.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Chris, how about for you?
Yeah, I'm with Joe. I can see there's a lot more voices from sort of the atheist, skeptical, rationalist, secular, humanist type movements out there. And they're getting publicity. I mean, there's now the atheist TV station on the Roku. People are being sort of asked onto sort of, you know, radio, TV shows to give an opposing view. And I'm hopeful that's going to continue and there's going to be more and louder voices out there. And hopefully that, you know, a few people might listen to them.
Paradoxically, if I can come back to... it's kind of a paradox, but actually the witch hunt mentality is actually going to work in reason's favor, because, I mean, once it starts going to the side of reason, and everybody's going to pile on.
So, one can hope.
Yeah. The other thing that's been covered is a lot. It's got quite a lot of scrutiny. It's science reporting in the media over the last couple of years. And which I'm not sure how it is in America, but from what I see here in England, it's pretty abysmal. We've got, you know, newspapers running headlines with complete misinterpretations of studies, and running with sort of junk studies that are done on like three people or and have sort of no power at all. And I'd like to see that improving and, you know, sort of more and more scrutiny in that area, because I think it will swing around and help with the critical thinking. If there were some more good examples in the media of sort of maybe a more thoughtful, measured approach to some stuff.
Okay. Heretic? Here's your chance.
Well, I hope that my endeavors bear some fruit. I've got a lot of irons in the fire at the moment. Of course, there's my show, and I've actually become involved with the local groups, and I was telling you guys about the non-conference from last year, which was the first one ever in Ontario, and it looks like I'll be helping with next year's, because it's going to be in town here. So I've already attended a meeting to that end, so that's kind of exciting. And I think there's potential for some really great things with that, and just getting out here. Like I said, this is kind of new for me, you know, just since the summer, and I see there a lot of potential with things in the future. And going to ReasonCon in the spring, I'm like super looking forward to that, and I think I'll make some really good connections out there with that too. So I think I hope that I will be able to affect some change somewhere along the way.
This is very cool. For me, I of course, like a lot of other people, have got dreams for the future, for what I would like to see. And it's, of course, no surprise to anybody that I keep saying, when people ask, did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas? No, I didn't. Cancer's still out there. But every year is always, you know, that much closer a step to my ultimate goal, which basically translates out to vengeance. But we can talk about that later. Believe it or not, this is what I want to talk about, what I'm hopeful for. Now, this is just a place marker. This is one of the Linux distribution DVDs that I'd gotten with a magazine a while ago for Ubuntu Linux, which is my weapon of choice on my computers. And it's not that I am hopeful for Microsoft to be gone or that Linux will take over. It's the term. The idea of Ubuntu translates as a concept as everybody helps everybody. And it's not a direct translation, of course. It's a conceptual idea, which is, you know, as Carl Sagan has once put, is got an elaborate underpinning to it all. But the idea of everybody helping everybody is, of course, a noble concept. It is one of those things that gets both relegated to being put on a pedestal and denigrated as socialism. But the idea of everybody helping everybody makes sense. From a sociological standpoint, it makes sense. It's part of why we got here as the human species, to being people, to being societies, to being towns and cities and countries. And unfortunately, in a lot of ways, is also kind of taken us to areas where we don't want to be now, of being isolated from one another for different reasons. Because we want to help, so long as it's our own group, which kind of works both ways. But the idea of being able to look beyond our friends, our family, our village, our town, our city, our state, our province, our country, our hemisphere, our language, our ideological differences, once you get past all of that, you start to strip away all of the trappings that are wrapping paper. And you finally get past the printing on the box, and suddenly you realize it's a box. What's on the inside differs from person to person, from location to location. But it's all trappings for a box. Every person is another box, another brick. And if you support everyone with as few detrimental pieces as possible, you build up a stronger and stronger and stronger structure. And that structure is society at large. What am I hopeful for the next year? Something that I can just hang my coat on? I'm hopeful that every day that we don't turn this planet into a radioactive mud ball is another day closer to never having to worry about turning this place into a radioactive mud ball. Surviving just one more day, just one more hour, is good, because it gets you that much stronger to being able to get through the next hour, the next day. Sometimes pure survival is enough for us as individuals, but as a society, every hour is another one that we've gotten the chance to learn more from. And for scientists, that's enormous now. when the knowledge that we've got can help us to survive that much longer with that much more good and that much less bad, I just believe in all of us to be able to do that. Because really, the biggest reason why any of us want there to be more good and less bad is asleep upstairs in her bedroom. As always, everyone, thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. We know full well this is not the sexiest of podcasts and vlogcasts, but we do think that perspectives that we bring to the table are worthwhile. So thank you for sharing, of course, all of yours with us and listening to what we've got to say. Again, Chris, thank you for coming and joining us tonight, and good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
Is there anything that you'd like to plug or get people to know about you before we get out?
No, I don't have anything to plug at the moment. That's another of my hopes for 2015, to get more involved in the community and hopefully have something to plug.
Fair enough. Joe, thank you, of course, very much, and good morning for you.
You too, sir.
Sir, really? You put on a colored shirt once in a while. People call it, what the hell? Would you like to plug anything in particular?
I've got nothing to plug, man.
Doesn't matter. I'll give it a shot anyway.
I'm just happy to participate, so thanks for that.
And I appreciate that. Unrenowned Tech, of course, as always, happy holiday. I hope that you've been enjoying your time with your guy, and thanks for coming, man.
Absolutely. And I'll see you guys all next year.
Yeah.
Nothing for you to plug either?
No. My romantic life has been nil.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Heretic woman, you're married, so you're kind of in the same boat. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you had yourself a good holiday.
It was fine. It was fine. I had to bite my tongue a little bit on Thursday, but, you know.
That's kinky.
No, they were bitching about Canada and being Christians in Canada and crap. But everyone.
Isn't it funny how the Christians say everywhere they go that area is Christian?
Oh, no. They were complaining that they can't be Christian in Canada. Yeah.
Why not?
Because they're delusional.
I believe Colonel Potter put it best when he said, horse apples!
Exactly. No, horse hockey. But everyone needs to come and watch my show on Monday night. We are having Miss Ashley from No Religion Required is going to join us for the evening. And we may have a very exciting secret special guest. So everyone needs to come in and watch us 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on my YouTube channel, Heretic Woman. Come see me.
And of course, if you'd like to get in touch with me one way or another, please, by all means, feel free. You can find me pretty much anywhere under the name Shujin Tribble, typically just all one word. So Skype, Twitter, Facebook, you can find me pretty much everywhere under that. If your Google foo fails you, you deserve to fail and feel bad for yourself. If you'd like to, of course, send a voicemail message, the phone number is there for you on the screen, 859-HCTV-554. There's a whole story behind that, but we'll talk about that another time. And if you would like to send in an email, send it over to me as shujintribble@gmail.com. And please remember to put in the subject line, holy crap. If you would like to follow me or friend me or anything like that on like Facebook or something, please make sure that you send me a message to let me know that you're finding me from Holy Crap, because every once in a while I get a message where somebody on Facebook is looking to friend me, and I don't have any mutual friends, so I don't know who the heck you are. There have been, however, others who have come through, and suddenly the mutual friends list is like 10 long, And I'll go, who are you? Mutual friends. Oh, Dave Foda. No illusions. Listen to illusions. Okay, yeah, I think it's safe for me to go ahead and friend this person. So, you know, thank you for helping out on that. We'll be looking forward to seeing you, of course, next year. In which case, of course, unless you're watching us from 3025, in which case you'll see us 5 minutes from now when you click on the next video link. By the way, if you're seeing me from 3025, don't ever forget who we were, because we were important people. We were the kings of Australia. It might not show in the history books, but if you get the history books from Texas from this year, you will find us in there. If they didn't, you know,
yep.
Alter it again, maybe. We were second in line to the throne right after Lex Luthor.
Just call me Mrs. Moses.
And I'll just throw in a shout out to my great 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 granddaughter.
Yeah.
yeah. If you are watching from 3025, can you take me out of the freezer, please?
Yeah.
Take you out there right along with the woolly mammoth carcass, right?
That's yeah. Right.
In any case. If you are watching from 3025, elbow me in the ribs and tell me, you were a lot younger then. But in any case, no matter when you're seeing us from, again, thank you for your time. And we do wish you the best. And before we get out of here, the two last items that we have to do. One, Tech, you didn't say it yet.
Oh, when we were talking about Amish Wolverine earlier today?
Thank you. I think you'll get it. And thank you. In all seriousness, all of you who...
Not you, that was the cat I was kissing.
All of you who have been on the show in the past, no matter who you are, no matter how much time you spent with us, thank you. So... a very, very large thank you from this past year, specifically to Noah, Lucinda, and Heath from The Scathing Atheist. You were we were your first video show, the time when you thought it was safe to show your faces. Thank you for trusting us with that. Sam Mulvey.
Cash, you got to come back, man. You know,
yes.
I got to stay with through one of your podcasts sometime.
Yes. So, Cash from Atheist on Air, thank you so much also for taking the time with us and giving as good as you got. That was, thank you. Sam Mulvey from Ask an Atheist, thank you for your time and spending so much time with us after show. That was a true honor and a thrill and our best hopes for building up the studio. I hope everything is working right for you. I look forward to what you're able to accomplish, especially releasing all your source code. And last but not least, I want to personally thank Ashley, who thought that she did not have a voice, did not have a place, called to Cash's show on Atheist on Air, and took the time to be with us. Even though she hasn't been on recently, she's still out there, and she's still doing her thing. You took a chance to come on with us live. Yeah. And I don't say that as being, as I've said before, I don't mean that to mean us on this show. I mean all of us. You went on with Cash. You inadvertently became part of this collective, this gestalt that's happened. Whether Cash meant it or not, he has become the focus of so many of us, simply because he's one of us. You took a chance, and I, for one, am proud that you decided we are worth your time. All of you who are watching, please always remember, it's not that we are here for you. You've been there for us. It's a mutual thing. It helps us all. And when all is said and done, we want us all to have an opportunity to be out there to help each other. So thank you. On behalf of all of us from Holy Crap, we sincerely wish all of you happy holiday. Safe travels this holiday season. A hopefully good new year. Whether you consider it blessed or not, whether you consider it good or not, we sincerely hope for you that it is beneficial, it is prosperous, and it is fulfilling. I, of course, personally, am still going to wish for my own little piece of vengeance, but then again, I have a vested interest. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, I wish you the peace I no longer have. I wish you the strength that I've learned. I wish you well. And as always, Matane Fujin, I love you and I miss you. Dream of me. Until the very next time we get together, everyone, as always, good night.
You've been listening to Holy Crap, the Vlogcast. Feel free to leave a comment on the show's website at holycrapthevlogcast.com, where you'll also find links to our Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google Plus pages. Theme music provided by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. On behalf of all of us here, thank you for listening.